Makosa.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Makosa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. And we got a treat in store for you.
Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 FM in Burnaby and CJSF.ca, streaming worldwide. Today, my guest is an international travel consultant who is going to share some tips with you on planning and enjoying travel. Her name is Lisa Futrell. And Lisa, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
Just wonderful. I wanted to share with people the fact that so many people are going out and having frustrations with airports, that there's another place that you might find peace of mind, which is on the sea. Lisa, how long have you been interested in travel?
Well, I've been interested in travel all my life, but as far as I can remember, but I didn't start traveling actually until I was in my 30s.
Okay, but I think you shared once, you know, people ask children what would they like to be when they grow up, and you mentioned having this vision of seeing the world or traveling the world.
Yeah, I can remember when I was a little girl, and when people would ask me what did I want to be when I grew up, I would say I want to be an adventurer.
Aha. And which brings me to
what an adventure was, but that's what I wanted to be. And I got the idea from this book that my mom used to read me. And I can't remember the name of the book, but it was about this little boy. And he always went on adventures. And mostly he went on adventures at the beach. And I used to go to the beach a lot when I was a kid too, but I never saw the things that he saw at the beach. Like, there were tide pools and caves and mountains and all these different little animals that, you know, he would find while he was exploring and on his adventures. But our beaches didn't have all that. It was just basic sand and water. So I wanted to see the different things that he saw. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be an adventurer when I grow up.
And that, you know, in talking to you every week, it seems like you're somewhere, makes me think of the thing, you know, the cartoon they used to have, Where's Waldo? That makes me think of a song. You know, Sam Smith had a song, Time After Time. And time after time, when people call you, you give them really good advice or help with different types of things they get stuck on in their travel. So we're going to listen to that Sam Smith song and see how that relates and connects with what you do.
Okay.
Lying in my bed, I hear the clock tick and I think of you. Caught up in circles, confusing it, nothing new. Flashback, warm nights, almost left behind. Suitcase, a memory. Time after, sometimes you picture me. I'm walking too far ahead. You're calling to me. I can't hear what you have said. Then you say, oh, so, and I fall behind. Second. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time, if you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after time, if you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time, if you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. watching through windows. You're wondering if I'm okay. Secrets stolen from deep inside, and the drum beats out of time. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time, if you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after time. I fall behind the second and unwind. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time, if you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after time, if you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time, if you fall, time after time, time after time, time after time.
Well, time after time, you've come through for people in helping them with their planning. But I wanted to distinguish, because sometimes people think of a travel agent, but you are more of a personalized host. You help people who, like some of our listeners, a group wants to go somewhere. They have an idea that maybe they want to do a music conference, or maybe they want to do a knitting conference, but they'd like to do it at a different location. How do you help groups with something like that?
Well, I really like groups because I feel like I'm a really big service in doing all the legwork. Because when you're trying to coordinate a group, you've got people that are paying deposits at different times, and then some have to make payments, some can pay in full, some say they're going to go, but then they cancel, and then you have to do all the paperwork for canceling, and they have different room types that they want and different requirements. So it's a lot of legwork to put a group together. And then also there's insurance that you need, travel insurance. So there's a lot of steps. So my services just take all the legwork away, so that all you have to do is concentrate on getting prepared for what you want, what type of material you want to present for your group while you're there, and your activities. So it's pretty helpful.
Some people, you know, when I see those big Disney ships, I think, oh my goodness, they'll be running children everywhere. But you have an intergenerational approach, because you have in your personal family an intergenerational trip. How do ships deal with things for different ages, like seniors like me and people that have got grandchildren?
Well, you know, that's one of the good things about cruises is because there is something on the cruise ships for everyone, every age. Recently, since the travel has started back up, I've noticed more and more older people, seniors, even seniors with mobility challenges. I see a lot of people in scooters. I see a lot of people in wheelchairs being pushed by, you know, the younger family members. And the cruise ships, they're made for that. They have accessibility rooms. The aisles are wide. Walkways are wide. So there's elevators. So it's totally set up for older people. And then for younger people, like this trip that we have coming up for Labor Day weekend, I've got my grandkids and my great grandkids are going. They won't be with us the whole time. They have, it's kind of like summer camp, but they call it kids camp on the cruise lines. And you can actually check your child in, and they've got just an imaginable amount of activities that they involve the kids in every day. And then that way the parents can have some alone time. They have, I think, one overnight on a 7-day cruise. So they have those two. Now, those services aren't free. You have to pay a little bit for them, but it's actually worth it. So the kids are safe. They give you a beeper or some type of little device that's kind of like a beeper. So your child can always be in contact with you if the child doesn't feel comfortable or, you know, is just ready to go out of the program, they can contact you at any time. Mm-hmm. And then actually that starts from, I forgot to say, that starts from about age 2. They have to be potty trained, but from age 2 on up, and then they cannot check themselves out. So the parent has to come to check the child in and check the child out. Now, teenagers can check themselves in and out, but they've got their own programs also for teenagers. They've got arcades. They've got a club area with, games, table games and tennis. And they've got a sports area where they've got basketball courts and workout equipment. They've got a gym that teenagers can go into. The kids can't go into the gym, but they've kind of got their own area and where they can romp around and bounce around and jump around. There's a water park. So they've got water slides. They've got a rope course for all ages. Some cruise ships have rock climbing walls. I mean, it's just endless. I mean, pizza, hamburgers, ice cream, they can get ice cream 24/7. So, I mean, it's just, you know, they're set up for kids. They're set up for kids also, but they're also set up in a way where the adults, if they want to get away from the kids for a while, they've got serenity decks that are quieter areas, spa music and so forth. And then they've got the Lido deck where all the main activities and the noise the fun is. So they've got all that. I mean, there's casinos, there's movie theaters. One of the cruise ships that I went on one time had an IMAX theater. And most cruise ships have this big screen on the main deck that you can view movies at nighttime. So
I wanted to ask you a question about safety, because there's been an increase in Vancouver and a number of other cities of people doing mean things to older people. And how are people, you know, as you said, some people have wheelchairs, some people have accessibility devices, but are there security, are there people that kind of just look out for the safety of people who may be more challenged?
You know, there are, there's security all around, but it's not in a, they're not going to walk around in like security guard outfits or anything like that, because I don't think that you would want to have a feel like you're in danger or in need of protection. But believe me, there is so much security and protection on cruise ships that you would not believe it. And one of the other ways that I came to realize that was the last cruise that I went on, the friend that I was with, she won $10,000 in the casino. When it was time to for her to go collect and get paid out, I thought that they would just write her a check. No, they paid her cash. They don't do checks. Everyone that won, they paid cash. And so I was in the line too, because I won a little bit in the casino. So on the last night, I was in the line too to cash out, right? I never seen so much money in all my life. I thought I was in Vegas or something. And I thought, all this money on this cruise ship, they've got to have a pretty good security and armed guards here. It's just that you just don't see their presence. But the other thing about the meanness that we're witnessing with older people is you don't get that on the cruise ships. I've never experienced anything weird like that. Everybody seems to get along. I think it's because everybody's there to have a good time. and everybody just gets along. I mean, you see all different races on the cruise ship. There's not more than one than the other. And everybody just gets along. I mean, you're in a close space together. I've never witnessed any violence or hostility or anybody being weird or anything like that. Yeah.
People in Vancouver and all along the Isles have been excited that the ban has been lifted on, you know, cruise ships stopping here. You mentioned when people have a day. Can you explain what it means when people have a port day? And then I think from experience of things that you've heard, why are people so excited that City of Victoria, Vancouver, that those ports are open again for cruise ships?
Yes. Okay. So when you go on a cruise, let's say, for instance, you're on a 7-day cruise. That 7-day cruise may have 3 or 4 port stops. So out of the 3 or 4 port stops, you have your port days, and then you have your days that you're on the sea. So when you're on the sea, maybe you might be on the sea 2 days straight before you hit your first port, and you know you can get off and go into port. Well, specifically on the Alaska cruises that go out of Los Angeles and Seattle, Canada was really strict with who they were allowing in and out of their ports. So for a long time, the Alaska cruises were canceled because Canada was not allowing the cruise ships in. So, and I mean, I can understand it. They were, you know, just trying to keep their people safe. So now that the ports are open back up, people are excited because that's one of the highlights on the Alaska cruise is also being able to go to Victoria. And people really want it. They want to see Canada. And it's really nice. And some of the ports in the Caribbean are most of the ports in the Caribbean are open, but some are still closed. Some have stricter requirements. Like, for example, I think in May, I did a cruise that was supposed to go to Aruba, Curacao, and Bonaire. Bonaire was closed because I guess they were having a spike in COVID. So they were closed. So we ended up going to La Romana instead, which was really, really a nice port. That was a port in the Dominican Republic. But that particular itinerary usually goes to Bonaire. And then you have some cruise lines that have this requirement where everyone has to be vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, they won't let you cruise. And then some of them you can cruise if you're not vaccinated, but they take other precautions. But say, for instance, like if one of the ports is San Juan, Puerto Rico, they may decide, well, we're not going to let tourists in our port that aren't vaccinated. So then they would not be able to get off the ship, even though the cruise ship is there in port.
Now, being able to go out in the night, sometimes we are frustrated when we read in the activities that are happening someplace that they're at night or there isn't transportation or people don't feel secure because they have to sometimes travel alone or sometimes use a handy dart service that might cut off at 11 and things go on until 12. What is the nature of the nightlife? You said once that people could feel like they're in New Orleans, not be in New Orleans and worry about being buffeted about by the crowd. What is some of the advantages for people who are older being able to go out in the night and be world-class travelers, see some of the places that they've heard about like Moulin Rouge or Bourbon Street?
Okay, that is really a good question. So I recently went on this cruise ship called the Mardi Gras, and it's one of Carnival's largest cruise ships right now. That ship is designed like New Orleans. And so one thing that's really nice about it is now I've been to Bourbon Street, I think about four years ago. I had a chance to visit New Orleans, and that was the first time I'd ever visited. We went, you know, I'd heard so much about it, but then when we went down Bourbon Street, I wasn't impressed at all. I thought, oh my gosh, this place is so dirty. And, you know, the crowd was kind of, I guess I would just say kind of met the stereotypes of New Orleans Bourbon Street. And we actually, the next day, we heard that there was a shooting and somebody got killed on Bourbon Street. So it's like, wow, I really don't, you know, that kind of atmosphere is really not my thing. But this particular cruise ship, they have three areas. They designed one area that looks like Grand Central. And, you know, to be honest, I haven't seen, I don't even know if there's a Grand Central that exists in New Orleans, but there was this area called Grand Central. Then they had a second area that was called Bourbon Street, and a third area called the French Quarter. Now, the Bourbon Street area, it looked like what I would imagine Bourbon Street in New Orleans looked like back in its heyday when it was beautiful and safe and so forth. And I mean, the colors, the jewel tone colors, the crushed velvet, the purples and the blues and the wine colors and the golds, the greens, like emerald greens. It was beautiful. I mean, the curtains, the tile work on the floor, the tile work around the bars, everything. It was just beautiful. And I like, okay, this is Bourbon Street, but this is being able to experience it in a safe way. And you don't have to wait till nighttime to experience it, because you can experience in the day or you can experience it in the nighttime. They've got restaurants, they've got shops, they've got bars, everything. It makes you feel like you're in New Orleans. And there's also a restaurant, Emeril has, Emeril Lagoski has his restaurant. What's the name of this restaurant? I can't think of the name of his restaurant now, but he even has a restaurant. So they have Cajun food there. So, I mean, they just did it. They did it to the T. And then the third area was the French Quarter. And it looked exactly like the French Quarter, except for updated, nice, clean, just beautiful, you know. New Orleans, it's kind of run down now. They could use some updating. But if you could imagine it in the days when it was first built, you know, that's what you would experience on this cruise ship. It's, you know, it's really nice. And it's like, I mean, you wouldn't even imagine that you're on, in that area, you don't even realize that you're on a cruise ship unless you go all the way to the end, the side, and you look out the windows because you can see the ocean. But other than that, you wouldn't even realize it. You think that you're just in another world, another setting. So, yeah.
Speaking of using our imagination, one of the things that radio gives you an opportunity to do is imagine being somewhere else. So I'm going to say again, you are listening to CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby. This is Charlotte Frill, your own Sister C. And we're going to take a trip on a riverboat as we hear Tina Turner and the Proud Mary.
Oh, I never lost one rough. And I but we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it been. Easy. But then we're going to do the finish. Turning. Rough.
Proud Mary.
It's the way we
keep
do.
On burning.
Proud Mary. And we're rolling. Rolling.
Ooh, rolling.
Rolling on the river. Listen to the story. Left a good job
down
in the city.
Working
for the man.
This is Charlotte Frill, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby. This morning, you are going on a trip. You've just been on the riverboat with the Proud Mary with Tina Turner. This morning, my guest is taking us on a trip. Are some things to keep in mind when traveling. She is an international host, travel planner, and a person who has worked with small groups. You've heard her talk about cruises, but she's also worked with groups who want to have a family reunion or who want to have a conference and don't want to have to deal with all the details of putting together the best things that they might see in a city. So Lisa, tell us about what are some things that a group needs to know if they wanted to have someone help them with their travel plans?
Well, the main thing that they need to know is kind of where they want to go, because depending on the group, they know their group better than a travel agent would know the group. So what would be some of the requirements of the group? Are there going to be mobility issues? Are there going to be weather issues? Because some of the places that you go are extremely cold. Like if you go on Alaska cruise, you're going to deal with cold weather at part of the time, or if you go in the Caribbean or Mexico or something, or even in Greece, the Greek Isle cruises, depending on the time of the year you go, you're going to be dealing with extreme heat. So all, there are people that are sensitive to weather. There are people that, let's say, for instance, you want to get off the ship and you want to go to a particular resort. But the resort has maybe a quarter mile mark, even though it's on the beach, it has a quarter mile walk to actually get to the beach. That might be a challenge or really a barrier for some of the guests. So all those things have to be taken into consideration. The age group has to be taken into consideration if they want to include children. Then you would want to determine what ships are, kid friendly, or let's say, for instance, some of the children have, some families have children with autism. So are some of the cruise ships are certified to deal with children with autism, and they specialize in that and they have programs for them. So, that takes into consideration their abilities and their sensitivities and so forth. So all those things go into planning and selecting what ship is the best for their group. And then the second thing would be how much time do they want to have for free time, and how much time do they want to have for organized activities? So.
Okay. So coming off the sea for a moment, was at a meeting of a group where some people voted that they want to visit Vancouver. And sometimes with a group, there are people that want to see the museums, or the people that want to see the nightlife. Then there are people that want to pay attention to the conference. So how do you help a group like that, a person that's trying to put together something where they get a little, how do you work with them to help meet what the different members of the group want to see when they come here?
Right. So Vancouver is a little bit different than a lot of ports in that they don't allow the cruise ships to stay long. So,
aside, not with the port, no, if just someone, if you were working with them just on a trip to come to Vancouver, not on a ship, but just coming, like there have been people that have asked about coming or doing their retreats here.
Okay. So basically, the first thing would be good to know is approximately how many people do they expect? Because you've got different hotels that give different group rates. Some give group rates, some don't give any discount on group rates. Some give you, they'll comp you a room or two or three, depending on how many rooms are booked. Some hotels have conference space that they give you for free if you have so many people. Some don't. Some have swimming pools, some have free parking, some don't. So all those things need to be taken into consideration. But the main thing is the time of the year and the amount of people and the age group of the different people. So let's say, for instance, they want to have all their, it's a group and they want to have all their group activities conference related in the morning, and then they would spend the afternoons doing tourists and sightseeing activities. Or let's say, for instance, they're going to, for the first day, it's going to be all conference. And then the next 2 days, it's just going to be sightseeing. Mm-hmm. So, and then what we would do is we would research when's the best time to go as far as with the weather, what festivals are going on in Vancouver, or that particular city. Are there any, for instance, museums, if there are any specials a certain time of the year, sometimes museums let people in free. Sometimes museums, they'll do an activity for groups, you know, specifically for groups. Sometimes you can get in museums during off hours, and then you have the whole museum to yourself. So it just depends on the kind of activities that they, you know, that they want to do. And at least have an idea. They may not, of course, if they've never been to Vancouver, they may not really know what it has to offer, but they would kind of know what kind of activities they like they like sightseeing, if they like nature, if they like to get in the water, if they just like to hang out by the pool, you know, all those things go into consideration.
Yeah, so using a travel planner, someone that has that expertise like you have, makes me think of a Charlotte Cornfield song, Partner in Crime. So you're a partner in achieving the goals. So we're going to listen to Partner in Crime and see where that takes you. We're taking you on trips this morning as we talk about travel.
I spilled a glass of water the second that I met you. Apologized to the bartender and laughed. So disarming with all of your sincerity. I really could have died. You really had me wrapped. There was so much bad news before I met you. There was so much bad. You got us some ciders, and we slowly sipped them, and I lost track of time, forgot what time meant. There was so much bad
never end.
Welcome back to Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. You know, Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon also applies to visiting the places in your city that have information about the city. But I found for seniors, sometimes they don't tell you whether the doors are accessible, or they don't tell you where the elevators are. One of the places that I think is really good about doing that is the SFU campus. I was out there for a conference. There were lots of signs. There are visual pictures of where the restrooms are. There are arrows that point to where you'll find the stairs. But as you've probably had that experience of going into some buildings where, you know, you're lost. Yes, it was accessible. You got in, but the rest of the things that you need, you know, visual cues and so forth, aren't helpful. What are some examples of the best ways that you've seen people designate or help a person with accessibility needs to get through and use that building?
Well, I think the first of all, you need to be familiar with the building. And, you know, as being a travel consultant or a travel agent, I can't know everything everywhere. And so, but you learn how to depend on the experts for that area. So I would call those buildings and find out what is it like, because it's impossible to know everything for everywhere for every city. But you don't really have to know. You just have to know that it's possible to call ahead and find out those things.
Yes, I think when people call, like there is a place that I love to go in Vancouver, and I've sent them notes and messages that right at the front, the building is so big, you need to have something that shows people, you know, just a little graphic anyhow, you need to have something that lets people know the direction to go to find where the restrooms are, where the dining area is. Some museums have got areas where people could bring their own lunch. So even a little card at the desk, when people first get there, they'll feel welcome to know that someone has thought about how to help them through. It's also for the people building buildings. I think ramps, they have some ramps. If you have a walker, trying to get down that ramp, I've had a couple of times somebody come up and put their arm under mine because the ramp is too steep for a person with a walker. And right next to that level, that ramp that's taking you down to another area of the building, it's not next to an elevator. So that person, once they get on there, they're kind of committed to going down or saying, help. So I think that would be one of the things that people who are studying structural engineering or people who are studying building design, to look at the ways that people can, people with different types of devices. You got walkers, you got strollers, you have scooters, you have one leg, you know, something where people have had a brace put on one leg and the leg has to be extended, to really think about those things as they're designing buildings and making everyone feel welcome. And I think friendly feedback, not calling the people up screaming at them, but saying, you know, I visited your place. I wasn't able to get over to this cafe. I wasn't able to see the new Zycam exhibit because there just wasn't a clear pathway or there wasn't someone around. Mm-hmm. In the area to help me. So I think that would be another good thing to have at the desk of the entry desk, the reception desk, a card that a person could put or pick up, I need assistance, or whatever they want to call the person, roving reporter, holiday, cheer giver, but something that would designate that that's a person without feeling embarrassed. You could ask for help with to make it possible to use their device and enjoy the facility.
Yes. And the other thing is, when you know that you have a group that's going to a specific place, is to notify that group that venue, so that they are expecting that group, and yes, to help make them feel welcomed. And then also, you know, travel advisors, they can't always escort a group, but you know, when they are escorted, I would just say if the group has a lot of needs, different needs, then that might need to be an escorted tour, because you have some tours that are escorted and you have some tours that are not escorted. So some need a little bit more help, a little bit more support than others. So for a group that has, let's say, 25% of the group is going to be older people that do have mobility challenges, then that group leader might want to buy in for a escorted tour versus an unescorted tour.
It's very important to start months ahead. Sometimes people want to go somewhere and they are right down in the month or two before. What are some of the things that you really have mentioned about scheduling and planning your airlines and looking for the way that times or the cost of air travel fluctuates with different seasons?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand your question.
Well, what are some things, guidelines that you could give people about planning ahead of time and how the cost of airfare and the complexity of air travel, what are some things that you could suggest that people would do in planning ahead of time to avoid the pitfalls?
Well, you know, we're in an interesting time right now in August of 2022, you know, just in case this interviews her, you know, some years later. But right now, there are all of the airlines have such a shortage of staff because basically when COVID was going on at its peak and the airlines were shut down or people weren't flying, they offered a lot of people the golden, I guess you call it the golden handshake, where they were incentivized to retire. So a lot of pilots retired, a lot of staff overall retired. And so now that the travel business is back in full swing, they don't really have the staff to support the amount of people that are traveling. For example, on one of my last flights, it was delayed 1 hour and 15 minutes solely because there was nobody to put our luggage on the airplane. So we were waiting for our luggage to be put on the airplane. Flights are being canceled all the time. At this particular time, I would say that, you know, unless you're doing a simple flight from, you know, one state to, you know, a neighboring state, I would really use a travel agent to help you get your air, because it's very complicated. You've got flights that are canceling all day long. You've got connections, you've got missed connections. If your flight is delayed 1 hour, 2 hours or 3 hours, then you have missed your connecting flight. You might, if you're going on a cruise, you could really miss your cruise ship if you don't get there on time. You've got people that have luggage that they've been back a month and they still haven't found their luggage. So it's kind of a nightmare right now to fly. Also, I would say, if your destination is less than 5 hours away, drive. If it's less than a 5 hour drive, drive. Don't even try to take a flight right now, because everything's really complicated with flights right now. And it's not just one airline or another. It's every airline is going through it. And people have missed weddings because their flights were delayed. It's just, it's really incredible right now. Or at the least, I would say, if you need to be there by Saturday, try to plan to get there on Thursday, you know, just in case something happens and, you know, you are delayed, because delays they're inevitable.
There's an interesting thing. Some people have reported that they have taken a carry-on, but their carry-on, because they had a larger carry-on, it got put into the luggage compartment and they, you know, got separated from it. People with medicines, of those three things that people are able to bring on board, how would you suggest people package and bring their medicines?
I think medicines, they should just bring in their purse. I wouldn't put, you know, don't pack your medicines in your suitcase. Just take them in your purse.
Sometimes it's important to move the things from these large bottles. When people are going on a trip, sometimes they'll have a month's supply of different things, but having a smaller bottle so it can fit into a purse, it can fit into that one personal item that they don't have to check. you know, this thing of just because your bag is less than 21 inches doesn't mean that it automatically you'll be able to bring it onto the plane as a carry-on. So if you were thinking that the only thing that was going to make it off the plane with you is that piece of personal luggage, what are three key things that you would take?
Well, okay, but to go back to what you said about the medications, unless you're going to be away traveling for 30 days, you should not bring the whole 30-day supply of your medication. If it's liquid medication, you can put up to 3 ounces in your purse, but more than 3 ounces you would have to pack. But you could break it down into three. So say, for instance, if you have a 10 ounces of some type of liquid medication or 8 ounces, you could just separate that into 3 ounce bottles. You could buy from like Walmart or CVS. You've got these empty containers, and you can just break it down like that and put it in your purse. There's no restriction of how many, but they can't be more than 3 ounce containers. But if you're only going to be gone a week or 2 weeks, just take your week and 2 weeks supply. Don't take your whole 30 days supply of medication. And then for the three things that you would, I think most important would be your ID, of course, passport, if you're traveling international, and your medication. And actually, you know, your identification, your medication, and credit card. Those would be the, you know, credit card and cash. That would be the top three things to make sure that you have.
Now, some
people anything else that's lost, you can't. Anything that's lost, you can replace if you have a credit card. And but your medication, obviously, you can't replace. So you would want to take that with you.
So an over-the-shoulder bag, or something that you could have a sleep shirt or flip flops. Like sometimes people have nice big comfy house shoes, but to have something to change, you know, from your shoes. And would you suggest carrying something like that? Those foldable flip flops, cloth house shoes, simple shirt long shirt you could sleep in.
No. I mean, if you get stuck somewhere, just sleep in your clothes. I think the most important thing is, you know, to travel light, because you don't want to be stuck long term with a heavy carry-on. It's just a lot to navigate through airports. If you have some airports, you have to walk long distances. If you haven't ordered wheelchair service, because maybe you don't need a wheelchair, but you didn't plan on walking. I mean, I think one time I was at JFK and I had to walk from, it was a long walk. It really was a long walk. And I didn't have I usually don't do carry-ons. But it was a long walk for me. I was having some issues with my knee. I had recently fell. So my knee was still sore, and it was a really long walk. And I thought the next time I have to do a connecting flight through JFK, I'm going to order wheelchair service, because it was just a long way to walk. I really felt it. If you've trying to carry shoes and something to sleep in, it just complicates. It just makes it more complicated. So I would say, you know, worst come to worst, something like that, if you get stuck, you can sleep in your clothes. It's not going to hurt you. Maybe have a toothbrush and a little small thing of a toothpaste in your purse too, might be helpful just in case and maybe a little package of wipes. Wet ones or something like that. And just,
Something that happened with me in Vancouver, and what's happened at a couple of airports, that when people ask for wheelchair service, sometimes, you know, they don't come, or they're not aware of who was first. So a good thing to have is a watch that you can look at and watch the time, because 45 minutes before that plane light lands, I mean, before the plane is going to take off, they stop receiving luggage. Or some, you still have to have time to go through security. And so I had a personal experience in traveling where the information was in for a wheelchair. The person at the check-in desk had called the number, but they didn't come to get me. When they came, it was a half an hour before the flight, and you know, I missed the flight. So now I'm very mindful and will say, go back up to the desk and say, hey, it's coming up on 45 minutes before and the wheelchair hasn't come. And then these other two people that are supposed to get on the plane and they're going to miss it too, because there won't be enough time. And so yeah. I think having that kind of awareness and acting upon something you can do on behalf of someone is being mindful of that.
Yeah,
time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then also, you want to arrive at the airport just as a general practice, 3 hours ahead.
Yes.
Because, you know, they say 2 to 3 hours for international flights, but you should do it for domestic flights. Just go ahead and arrive 3 hours ahead, because right now, like I said, these are crazy times for the airlines. They're struggling with staff all around. So, yeah, I could see where that could happen, where the wheelchair service, you know, it's you might have to wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you've gone there 3 hours early, then even if they're running behind, you're likely to be on time for going through.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, if you get to the gate early, it's no problem if you get to the gate early. The problem comes is when you get there late. But if you get there early, it's, you know, it's not a problem.
And if they're making a waiting list or a standby list and you're there early, you're likely to be at the top of that list.
Yeah, the other thing is, don't take afternoon or evening flights if possible, because those are the ones that are most likely to get canceled. Take a morning flight.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point for us to bring us around to our last song, which is Give Me the Night. So if you start out on your trip early in the morning, you're more likely to have a peaceful night. So we're going to visit George Benson and Give Me the Night. So I want to thank you, Lisa Futrell. Thank you for your information. Thank you for being a wonderful host and a person that people can rely on to help them with planning trips to Vancouver, going to the islands, going around the world. Could you tell me what would be the best number or email for someone to get in touch with you?
Well, you can reach me. Name of my company is Futrell Getaways. So you can reach me at futrellgetaways@yahoo.com. Or I'm also, you can find me on Facebook at Futrell Getaways.
And spell Futrell.
F as in Frank, U, T as in Tom, R-E-L-L, Futrell Getaways. Right. Also, you can call me direct. My number is 951-977-0815.
Okay, so thank you for giving us some wonderful information where we can enjoy travel day or night. And we're going to go out with Give Me the Night. I'm Charlotte Frail, your own Sister C, here at CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, cjsf.ca worldwide.
Give me the night. Give me the night.